Hey everyone, welcome to the Small Screen Couch Commentary Podcast, where we watch your favorite TV shows, give you our thoughts, and ask for yours. I'm Alex.
And I'm Billy. We're excited to watch and rewatch the best TV shows from start to finish and hope you're ready to take the ride along with us.
We'll talk about the best characters and their stories, reveal some hidden gems, and look for you to do the same.
From sci-fi to comedy, drama to anime, we've got it all covered. So grab your favorite snack, and we'll see you on the couch.
Oh, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 2, Episode 8 of The Boys here on the small screen couch commentary. I was going to say screen small couch commentary. I think there's a very small chance that either I developed dyslexia as an adult, or maybe I just had it all along. It was misdiagnosed. Like, even when I'm typing sometimes, I'll type words, like, jumbled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll miss letters, but I'm typing way too, like, I'm thinking ahead. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe, I honestly don't know if that's what it is, or maybe I'm just...
Maybe you're getting old, dude.
good chance.
We're just getting old.
All right. Well, it's so funny because I say it all the time. I don't know how they're going to top themselves, and then they.
What an episode, dude.
Like, crazy episode.
Yep.
First things first, as always. What were you snacking on?
I had a bowl of off-brand Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yo, Honey Nut Cheerios
slept on.
Underrated.
Yeah,
and all even generic versions of it. Any version of Honey Nut Cheerios, underrated.
It was really good, man. I don't eat cereal a lot, and I don't remember last time I had Honey Nut Cheerios. But gosh,
an unsung hero in the cereal world.
Really, I know.
I feel.
Whatever happened to the bee?
Yo, for real.
Bring them back.
If you're someone who was raised in the 90s, maybe even the early 2000s.
Oh yeah.
You know what we're talking about. You kids these days probably have no idea what we're saying. What we're talking about when we say the bee.
Yeah.
Mascot of all mascots.
What was his name? He had a name.
I just called him Bee. He definitely had a name.
He was the Honey Nut Cheerio Bee, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was getting down on some cinnamon buns.
Oh.
Yeah. Just, you know, the generic.
We went breakfast.
Generic Pillsbury-type jaunts.
Yeah.
You know?
Delicious.
But, yo, straight up, Cinnabon at the mall, like, there's nothing like that.
Nothing better.
It's so good.
You get the side icing, too?
No, it's that's too much.
No, it's
that's
not
too much.
No, it's not.
Like, they put enough on there, bro. No,
yeah, they do, but you can always take more. Oh man.
All right. So what would you give the rating on this episode?
Gotta go 8.7. It was.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Very
good.
Episode.
I'm not gonna lie. I think this is my highest rating ever.
You in the ninth?
I did not get into nine land yet.
8.9.
I went 8.9.
Wow, yeah.
I went 8.9. There was so much in this episode in terms of the story, in terms of the themes that they were trying to communicate. There was just a lot. And honestly, looking back on it, it kind of makes me want to go in and read the comic or the graphic novel, whatever they categorize it as, because I'm wondering how much... If there's so much in the show that they're just packing into 8 episodes a season, what is the comic or the graphic novel like? It's got to have, like, way more.
You would think, yeah.
I mean...
Question for comic book fans out there. I always thought a graphic novel was just a bunch of volumes of comics together.
I don't know what the difference is.
I think the big books, when you have, like, a issue of a comic, right, and you have a bunch of them, then you make the big book out of it. The big book's the graphic novel.
Is that what they...
I think so. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. I don't know.
Let us know in the comments on our social media.
You're
our
Google.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly thought that comics were like just, you know, several issues. But then if there was like one larger story that was like several issues in one, that was a graphic novel. Or also the other idea I had in my head is like if it's... it's not really comics that get released week to week or month to month, however comics get released, that if there's just one big story and they just release it at one time, that's a graphic novel. I don't know.
I think, so we don't have to get deeper in this conversation, but yeah. Walking Dead, I would read, people call it a graphic novel, but then I would go to the comic store and be like, hey, here's the comic for Walking Dead when I caught up to the issues. But then when I had to catch up, I had to read the graphic novels. And it was one of the old issues. Bunch together, whatever.
Who
you
knows?
Tell us. All right, moving on. We're talking about The Boys, not graphic novels.
I mean, a little bit. It's
kind of
it's based
yeah,
on
right.
a comic slash maybe graphic novel. Who knows? But yeah, just crazy episode. Excited to see where things go after this because it's like
there's even, a little bit of closure even, in this episode, but
there is.
There's some
but
opening.
Then there's some cliffhangers and yep. some stuff that's still unanswered. Then I'm just like, who? I don't know. There's so many things at play.
I know
that, like, and things that I thought were happening that are not happening, mm-hmm. and things that I never thought were happening that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy. Let's get into things here because it's a little all over the place. But that's the other thing too. As all over the place as this episode was,
it was kind of connected.
Yeah, still very connected. There was a reason for it, a method behind the madness, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
So the episode, how does it open up?
It opens up with a weird commercial.
Yes.
Instead of a school shooting, it's if a soup terrorist or supervillain attacks a school. So you have these elementary school kids bearing down in case for a commercial showing what you should do if a supervillain attacks. And pretty much the whole thing is just pray to God you survive long enough for a superhero to get there.
Now,
the teacher has a freaking firearm in the desk.
Well, so I want to drill down on this a bit.
Yeah,
because
drill.
There's so many things that like came into play with that. So when it first comes up, you know, this little PSA about a potential supervillain attack on a school.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, and I don't know where your head went, and probably people our age, the first thing I thought of was Columbine.
100%.
And if you're someone in their, you know, mid to late 30s, maybe even some late 20s in there, I don't know. I think they're probably a little too young. But if you're someone in your 30s or late 30s, you know exactly what Columbine is. It was one of the, not the first, but one of the very first, like, big mass media covered school shootings in America.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing I went to.
But then the next one is the Sandy Hook.
Yep. Yeah. Just school shootings in general. But as the PSA goes on and they get to the point where it's like it's the cop and Homelander and they're going through the steps that the kids should take, you know, Homelander's like, you have to follow the law. And I don't remember exactly what the acronyms were. It was lock all windows and doors was L. A was arm yourself. And that's when the teacher gets the gun
out of her desk.
And then the last one
was
wait for you know, help to get there and whatever.
Fuck.
So when at that part, when they're going through that and the teacher pulls the gun out, that was another thing that was really big, like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago. No, it was actually right after Sandy Hook.
It was around 2020, too.
I don't remember.
2020
Was Sandy Hook 2020? I don't remember. Sandy Hook was
before that.
Years ago. But anywho, when that happened, there was a lot of talk in real world life about teachers being armed at schools to prevent shooters. No, you know what? Well, it was then, but then it also came up with the school shooting that happened at a couple years ago. I think it was Florida, maybe, or somewhere where there was like a school policeman that didn't go in, and then the cops didn't go in for a while.
Oh, yeah, they were being...
And then, like...
Yeah, I'm going to say it. They were just being bitches about it. Like, the little kids are in here.
I ain't gonna lie, I'd be a bitch, too.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I'd rather little kids survive. I would go in. You know what I mean?
We're not going to get into that, but yes.
Yeah, anyway. But anyway, so I remember that. There was a whole video of the cops sitting outside waiting to go in, right? And they decided they kept waiting. I remember this now. So that was around 2020.
Right.
And, yeah, the big conversation was, well, what about teachers having firearms?
Right.
I mean, obviously, that was an uproar because it was like, some people who love guns are just like, yeah, screw it. More guns, safety.
Right.
Other people are like, less guns, you know? So
now I know a lot of teachers, and the overwhelming majority of the people that I personally know when that conversation was happening was like, I do not want a gun in my classroom.
No.
You know?
I don't think so.
So when this PSA was going on, it's just like a lot of different things I'm thinking of, and I'm like, this is crazy.
And what I think is crazy about the boys is they really just, they don't care. They'll bring this topic up.
Oh, yeah.
Because this was around that time.
Right.
You know, when
right.
it came out. So
yeah, I think if it was a network TV show.
Wouldn't happen.
They would pull that episode immediately. They would just be like, we're not airing that. Or if they're going to air it, they're going to cut stuff out or, you know.
One Tree Hill had a freaking school shooting episode when I was growing up. That was intense.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's funny, too, though, with this police officer that's in this video with Homelander.
Yeah.
Because, and I kind of get a sense of why they did it the way they did it, but he's there like, oh, yeah, you know, me and Homelander, we're on the same level, whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, like, if a supervillain really attacks a school, then police ain't doing shit.
You're all done.
Yeah, right. But after the PSA is over, it cuts to I think it's the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, but hold on. I want to say, if you look at the police officer in the PSA, he looks up your post. It looks like he's supposed to look at Homelander and have like a smile because Homelander looks at him and like nods his head and smiles.
Right.
But the police officer kind of looks up like, man, this is fucked. Like,
did he? I don't know if I read that on his face.
He just looks kind of like uncomfortable.
I have to go back and watch that then.
He just kind of goes. And then Homelander looks down and does a smile and a nod. But he doesn't give him like the full on, like the police officer doesn't give like maybe a little bit of a smirk.
I will say I'm really surprised that at the end of the PSA, Homelander wasn't like, you're the real hero.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yo, and I totally forgot I think my favorite part of the PSA was when he was like, arm yourselves. And the teacher gets the gun out, but then Homelander's like, but honestly, with whatever you can find. And two kids grab, like, the American flag.
Yeah.
And they're just like,
ready to fight.
You know, like, jabbing it forward, like, that's going to do something.
Pretty much kids are soldiers now.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But then, yeah, we go to Bobby Singer.
Yeah. And so they're in his office. He's getting ready to go to, like, a conference or something where they're going to be essentially letting the people know that Compound V is going to now start being given to police officers and the military. And he even mentions that, like, and after they're done, we're going to give it to ICE.
Yeah.
You know, which is the task force that deals with immigrants and illegal aliens, which, not going into that. But anywho, just crazy that, like, they're saying, okay, well, now we got to start giving it to all these people. Because initially, the whole initiative with Madeline when she was alive was getting suits in the military.
Right.
Right. Now it's morphed into, well, we need to start giving regular ass people
It goes back to what Mr. Edgar said a while back in this season. He's like, we're a pharmaceutical company. So he just wants to sell this drug.
True.
And now that Madeline's gone, he's pretty much running it again. And doing what he wants, which is sell the drug.
Right. And so the Secretary of Defense, he's talking with Grace Mallory and Senator Newman, and they're basically like trying to talk him out of it. And he's like, look, I don't like this any more than you do.
But what can we do?
But, you know, we got to do it.
My favorite thing in this scene is, so remember how I'm always kind of like, it's the same old song and dance. Oh, we have pictures of you. We have pictures of you. And she's like, well, we got something that might change your mind. He's like, what, you got a picture of me fucking my kid's babysitter?
Right.
During her bar mitzvah? It was so funny because then he's like, please let it out. Take me out of this fucking shithole. I'm done with this.
Yeah, like, he's like, you know, I'll be done with this job and I'll have a cushy job with Fox. You know, which is crazy because that does end up happening a lot of times. Like, either celebrities or former newscasters or some politicians or whatever. Something happens, they end up getting fired from their job, and then they get a job at Fox as like a, you know, super right-wing conservative analyst.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's crazy how much this show really, truly does mirror real life.
It does.
In so many ways.
Oh, it's great. And shout out to Bobby Singer. I can't remember, Jim Beaver, I think is his real name.
Okay.
He's a supernatural guy, you know?
You and your supernatural.
I know, man. We get more next season.
Oh
yeah.
I know what we get more of.
Yeah.
It was a big deal when it happened.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly. I know who he is. We'll get into that. Listen to us in the next couple
of weeks.
They
actually show a statue of Soldier Boy in this episode, I think. Like a quick scan
by. Did they?
Yeah, it's a quick scan by. It's like the classic Soldier Boy from like the comics, apparently.
Okay. But, all right.
Yeah, anyway.
So yeah, they're going to start giving police and the military Compound V.
Yo, if somebody offers you Compound V to take, you taking it?
Wait, what?
Somebody says, hey, you're able to take Compound V.
So here's the thing. I'm wondering then if they were planning on going through with this. When V is given to adults, it doesn't work. It doesn't work the way it's supposed to.
It doesn't always work.
Right. So does the government know that? If that's their plan, obviously Vought knows that because that's what that whole facility that Stormfront was running was testing V on adults, and that it doesn't have the intended effect all the time. Sometimes it does, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, what does the government know that it's going to potentially kill a bunch of their soldiers and or policemen or whatever, and or just even if they survive, they might not be right.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest.
It's crazy.
But yeah, so if you don't know,
if I know it's gonna allow me to survive, yeah, I'm probably taking it.
Yeah, you just want to know what power you'd get, right? Yeah, I want to know what power I'd get.
But if there was even a single chance that like I'm going to explode? Absolutely not.
No.
If it's a 0.0001%, it's like, you're going to explode, I ain't taking it.
Nah. I'd rather not take that shot.
Let me ask you this. If you did take it and you knew there was no consequence, what power would you want?
I was thinking that question to ask you. I have no idea. What do I want? I mean, Homelander's power. But, like, if I can't go with, like, the overall, like, crazy strongness.
Are we saying you choose one power and one power only?
Sure. Speedster is always good.
I'm going invulnerability, like invincibility.
Oh, like you just can't.
Just can't get hurt. Can't, can't get, like, diseases and whatever. Because this is the thing. And a lot of people tie invulnerability to immortality when they are very separate.
Right.
You can be immortal. Immortal just means you can't die, but you can't die of your own volition or whatever. But, like, you can still be killed. Like, or I shouldn't say you can't die.
You can get
immortality
hurt.
Immortality is you can live forever.
Yeah.
You can still get hurt. You can still be killed. But if you're just living your life, you'll just live forever. That's right. Immortality. Invulnerability / invincibility.
Means you'll die of old age.
Right. Eventually you're going to die, but you can't get hurt. Like, you could take a tank round and you'd be good. Man. So I'd go with that.
I don't freaking know, man. That's a tough question for me. I think Speedster.
Speedster's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know what else I would want to do. I would have to really think about it. You put me on the spot. You got me think about it.
You chose Speedster.
Ask me season 3, episode 1, if it changes.
No, you chose Speedster. It can't change. Damn it.
I want all powers. I want to be a god.
All right. So moving on from there then, where's it go next? I think after that.
We do get a clip of Becca.
Yes.
Like hiding from police, probably from her.
From the
compound she's in.
Yeah, she's running through the woods, hiding. Sliding down the hill. She's all dirty.
Yeah.
She's trying to escape. She's got a knife. And clearly she wants to get out of there because she wants to get back to Ryan. When we last saw Becca, Homelander and Stormfront just bounced with Ryan. And it wasn't just that they bounced. Like, they bounced and Ryan wanted to go with them.
Yeah, which was sad.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, throughout this episode, some of the things that Ryan was, like, relating to, I could relate to as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
Someone he was going through. We'll get into
it. For sure.
But, yeah, they show Becca running through the woods. She's trying to escape. I think after that is when we're seeing, is it?
I think it's the boys down in the.
Yeah, they're down in the basement, and they're, like, getting, like.
Bunch of weapons ready.
Yeah.
Because they're just pissed. They're like, you know what? Fine. Like, nothing's worked. Whatever. We're just going to kill all these motherfuckers.
Frenchie's got an RPG that he's kitted with, like, an EMP grenade or, like, multiple EMP grenades.
They go against Stormfront, right?
Yeah, he's like, yo, the RPG hits her. The EMP goes off. That'll take care of her.
And he's like, you sure this will work? MM's like, you sure this will work? He's like, maybe.
He's like, it's a guesstimate.
Yeah, guesstimate.
or he says, it's a guesstimate. Yo, I'm a terrible French accent.
Yeah,
terrible.
And you're not smooth as Frenchie.
No, I need to work on that. I need whoever trained the guy that voiced Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast. I need training from him.
We need training, yeah, with that.
But yeah, so they're trying to get all these weapons together to go against all the soups. And I think Starlight's there, and she's talking with Hugh, and he's like, yo, they've lost their minds.
They have lost their shit. And Huey's like, we can't do this. This isn't going to work. Like, we need to figure out another way to do it. And they're like, we've tried the right way. We're done.
Right. One.
And even MM, who is, like, usually pretty level-headed.
He's like, nah, we're doing it.
This is the only shot we got now. Right. You know? Right.
When Starlight even says, if you even manage to kill all the seven and the soups and whatever, Voss just going to make 1,000 more.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we're just going to kill them all.
Too. Yeah. We're going to kill them.
Yeah.
They're pretty much, they're like, we're at war now. This is it.
Yeah.
And then at this point, Starlight, like, she defends Huey. He said, well, just give us some time. I've got an idea. Yeah. So they head out to go with her idea. We can follow along with her idea for now.
Yeah, let's follow with that.
So they're in the car. One, they're listening to Billy Joel.
Yes, I think it was Only the Good Die Young.
Which is a great song.
Yeah.
Also, I say this to everybody. I'm that stupid guy that has to give that input on the song whenever it brings up in a conversation.
Yeah.
It's not like about being good or anything like that, right? He was trying to get some chick to hook up with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, only the good die young.
He's trying to holler at a Catholic girl.
Yeah. And so I never knew that until probably like 7 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah. Great song.
And yeah. Catchy.
While they're in the car, you know, Starlight asks him, he's like, yo, I've been meaning to ask you for a long time. Like, what is it with the Billy Joel?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's just the music, you know, I listened to growing up in my house with my parents and whatever. Which at that moment, that was highly relatable for me. My mom was a huge Billy Joel fan, and that's why I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan, but I like his music a lot.
Yeah.
So immediately relatable for me there. And he reveals that, you know, it was his mom that listened to Billy Joel, which we get a tidbit about his mom that I don't think we ever really brought up before.
Not until this episode, yeah.
Right. So Starlight, she's complaining about her mom and, you know, whatever, first world problems, you know, yeah, her relationship with her mom. And then she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm apologizing to Huey because she assumes that his mom is dead. And he's like, whoa, like, my mom's not dead. And she's like, oh, well, you never bring her up, whatever. He's like, she left when I was six.
Yeah.
And
so he mentions that's kind of what why I listen to Billy Joel. Reminds of the good times before she left. They would clean the house together, singing it. Yeah.
Right. He also gets into, the fact that he's so clingy and whatever.
He's worried people are going to leave.
Right.
Worried people are going to leave. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, he wants, you know, I think they get into a conversation of like, you know, he's always like hanging in there and sticking in there no matter like how crappy the situation is. And he basically says to her, like, I am the way I am because I don't want to be like my mom. Like, she left when I was six, never heard from her, never got a card, a note, nothing.
It's fucked up, man.
I don't want to turn out like her. Like, I don't want to be the person that's abandoning people, especially like in their time of need. And as a 6-year old kid, that's, you know, your formative years are when you need your parents the most, and his bounced.
Yeah.
And honestly, when that conversation was happening, we haven't seen him in a long time. I don't even think since the end of season one, maybe
right,
season two. We haven't seen
witness
his dad,
protection program kind of
in a long time. And I immediately kind of felt like, man, you know what? I kind of do feel bad for his dad just a little bit. I know you hate him,
yeah.
But I feel bad for his dad a little bit because, you know, at that point, whether his mom had left or she had passed away, I wasn't really thinking, okay, well, you're a single dad trying to raise a kid.
Yeah.
Raising a kid with a spouse is tough on its own.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got two kids. I've got one. So we know the struggle, how it is with your partner in your life. Raising a kid on your own,
different,
exponentially harder.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different set of circumstances. So I did feel bad for his dad a little bit.
Right. And I think, too, you kind of see why his dad's the way he is, because it wasn't, she didn't pass away. She left.
Yeah, she just bounced.
And so he probably just shut down like, what the fuck is wrong with
me? Oh, dude, if my wife just straight up left, like no note, no nothing, just left me, I would feel so shitty about myself.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what is wrong with me?
How bad was life?
I mean, like, I know I got problems, but like, enough to be
I
like,
I
yo,
got problems.
I'm just drop of a hat out of here.
Yeah. Tell me my problems.
Yeah. So yeah, they're on their way to go try to figure out another way to do the right thing, essentially.
Yeah. So they end up at Queen Maeve's apartment.
Yeah.
That's not at the Vault Tower. It's somewhere else.
Yeah. And you see, she's just strung out.
That table still flipped upside down from last episode. She's
got a huge, not a huge, but she got a bong on the table that hasn't been cleaned in forever, obviously.
Yeah. She's
smoking a joint.
Yeah. And this doesn't go very well.
No.
Starlight's, but we need you. And she just flips out. I fucking saved your life. Is that not good enough? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And then she calls Huey a twink. It's like, God, come on, man.
Well, and, you know, they essentially want her to testify because she's an inside person. You know, earlier before Starlight and Huey had left, the boys, Starlight was like, well, what if I testify? And they're like, well, convicted felons don't really... they don't really have much credibility.
Yeah.
So Maeve is someone who still does have credibility. I don't think they know necessarily yet that she was the one who attacked Black Noir.
No.
And we actually find out that he's not dead. So I'm happy about that because I love Black Noir.
Black Noir is cool.
But he's just like in a coma, essentially, from the nut allergy.
Yeah, we get a little more Black Noir next season for a little bit.
I'm happy.
It's pretty dope.
We do. But anyway, yeah, she's just like, I'm not testifying. You know, if I do, it's suicide.
Yeah, people's heads blew up.
Yes. Yeah. Like dozens of people's heads blew up, which was absolutely crazy. And so, you know, she's basically saying, like, if I help you, I'm going to die and I'm trying to live. I'm trying to live my miserable, you know, alone, separate life.
Yep.
Just staying at home, getting drunk, and getting high.
Then she just yells, "Get the fuck out!"
Yeah, she blows up on them.
Yeah,
and so
and poor they Huey, leave. Poor Huey just gets eaten alive by her. Quick.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh man,
pretty nuts. Because you would think Maeve, being in the situation that she's in, she would want to help to try and, you know, do something good. She's, because her whole arc has been this like half in, half out superhero life. Like,
yeah,
we've talked about it a few times that she's on the lower end of the horribleness scale as far as the soups go. And her girlfriend Elena has left her because she's now seen, okay, you're not really that great of a person. So if you really want her back, like, do something good to maybe convince her otherwise.
She's in depression, man.
Yeah.
She got left, and she's like, fuck it, life sucks. This is me now. I'm just going to chill in here and smoke weed.
She's just self-medicating, which, you know, for some people works, but I think the majority of people, it doesn't necessarily.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's just down in the dumps.
Yeah. So they leave, and when they're leaving, we, you know, we go through a bunch of other stuff, but... they get back in the car. They're driving home.
Yo, I was even surprised at this moment.
This was awesome, too. It, out of nowhere, the backseat of the car, you hear like a whoosh, and there's A-Train, and he goes, "What's up, jackasses?" Or like, "What's up, assholes?"
Yeah.
And they freak out and get out of the car.
They almost crash. Like, Huey's like losing control of the car. He pulls over. They get out, and they're like, "Oh, my gosh."
About ready to fight and everything. And he has some paperwork.
Yeah, he's got a folder, and they're like, you know, why are you trying to attack us or whatever? And Huey even says to him, he's like, "I saved your life. Like, that should give me like some leeway here." And I think Starlight is kind of, she says something along the lines of like, "All that running, like, isn't your heart gonna be like stressed or whatever?" He's like, "Yo, take one step closer and find out."
Yo, he's back.
He's
in
ready
it.
To his stand
heart
on business.
He even says like his heart feels good.
I guess getting off the V probably is helping.
Yeah, and he's probably like, you know, doing better, you know, probably like actually exercising and stuff, not taking the V.
Right.
But he hands them this paperwork, and there's some stuff in it, and they're like, "Where'd you get this?" He goes, "Don't worry about it. Consider it fucking even."
No, he even says, what did they say? He says, "How did you get this?" He's like, "I didn't get this.
Yeah.
Y'all just found this. I wasn't even here." And they open it up, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, this is like a slam dunk home run," or some other sports analogy or something like that. And as A-Train runs away, he's like, "Make sure you get that Nazi bitch."
Yeah. And because he does. So the whole time we now know, and he's noticed that Stormfront had something against him, and he knows what it is.
Right.
But now he's got some information on her. And he does say, they're like, "Why'd you give this to us?" And he's just like, "For me to get in, she needs to be out."
Right, right.
And I was like, all right, A-Train.
Now, the whole reason he had given them this folder is because there was a point in the episode where it is Alistair, who's the leader of the Church of the Collective.
And Mr. Edgar.
Stormfront, or not Stormfront. No. This is before that even.
Uh-oh.
He had a meeting like that we didn't see, I think. Before that. No, you're right. My bad. Timelines messed up.
Alistair and Mr. Edgar are meeting, talking about getting A-Train and the Deep back in the Seven.
Right.
However, Mr. Edgar says there's only a seat for one. It's the Deep. We can get him back in. And there's some stuff against why A-Train can't be. You know, he was addicted to drugs, stuff like that. And Alistair's like, okay.
Well, no. So, okay, I was right. There was a meeting earlier before the one with Stan. It was the Deep, A-Train, and Alistair, and they're in his office.
Oh, yeah, talking about getting them both in.
Right. And so, you know, he's like talking about getting them both in, yada, yada. And no, you are right. You are right. My bad.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about later on.
All
right. So it's the same thing, but later. Anyway, so there, he's just talking to Mr. Edgar, and Edgar's like, "Yeah, we can take the Deep, not A-Train, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah, and he specifies we can't take A-Train because Stormfront has an issue with him.
Stormfront has an issue.
And Alistair even says, he's like, what's the issue that she has with with A-Train? He's like, "Well, she was part of your church way back when it was a startup. I think if you search your records, you'll know why."
Right, which is an old hint drop that he doesn't know he gave somebody. So Alistair's like, okay, fine. We'll take the Deep. That's fine. A win is a win. They leave the room. Adrian was in the closet or somewhere listening.
Yeah.
But he heard, check your records.
Right. Right. And it was funny because when that scene started, there's a waiter bringing in like a silver platter of Fresca.
Yeah.
And Alistair asks Edgar, he's like, would you like a Fresca? He's like, no, that's terrible
stuff. Yeah, that was great. No,
but it's
stuff.
At that point when the waiter's bringing in the Fresca that you hear that same whoosh. And so you know, okay, A-Train's somewhere there.
No, I didn't even hear that whoosh.
Oh, yeah. And you even see like the little like towel that's on the tray. It like kind of,
yeah,
from the wind, it like moves a little bit.
Sneaky little bastard.
So yeah, that's guy. Why he gave Starlight and Huey the folder, the files.
Yeah.
So... at the same time, while you know all this is going on, Huey and Starlight are off on their mission. The boys are back at their hideout under the pawn shop. And Becca, we find, is like banging on the front door.
Yeah.
And one of the guys that's, you know, at the hideout there, he comes down. He says to...
we got a problem up here. Yeah. Somebody that says she knows Billy or something like that.
Right.
And she's screaming, William Butcher! He says he lives under a pawn shop
in East Flatbush or something like yeah. that. You know, whatever borough of New York they were in.
Yeah.
So she comes in and she's basically like crying, saying they took him. And he's like, who? And she says that Stormfront and Homelander took Ryan.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about in the last episode, like, is she going to go back to Billy? We see that she did. And she even says,
Billy's got
like,
open arms.
Yeah. And she says to him, she's like, look, I know I have like no foot to stand on here asking you to help me. And
oh, and
help
he's just like, no, I'm fucking helping you.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of surprised.
I mean, he's madly in love with her, dude. You know?
Absolutely, absolutely. But
any opportunity,
he's also very vindictive
in his arms.
So that's why I was thinking he might be hesitant at the very least. But he was like, no, I'm helping
you. He also saw an opportunity here for him to have her back.
He did. He did.
He's a little selfish bastard that he is.
Yeah. So he goes to the fellas. At this point, then I think Huey and Starlight. I keep getting them too mixed.
They're back very soon. But my favorite thing is before Huey and Starlight get there, is you got freaking Frenchie's making her a sandwich. MM brings a drink and he's like, your favorite, right?
Yeah, Diet Coke like, with lime.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, how'd you know? He's like, we know a lot about you. And yeah. He calls her, I forget if he calls her honey, sweetie, or calls her a name.
Something like that. And yeah, it's just, term of endearment.
It's just MM being MM, and it's super great. And then
yeah. Kimiko is there.
It's like just staring at her all happy, like, yeah. You know. So it's like, oh, we got, maybe she's here now. She's in the boys, right? But they're all happy to see her. And then, yeah, Billy's like, okay, well, I've got a plan. I'll be back. That's then Huey and Starlight are back. So, but let's go with Billy's plan before he comes back with Huey, because Huey gets all excited, like, Becca, she's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, Billy then, he has a meeting of his own with none other than Stan Edgar.
This guy's freaking, Billy's smooth. He calls and says, a life or death situation. I need to talk to Mr. Edgar. He's like, what's the name? It's William Butcher. It's like, okay. So they meet together at like some fancy restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just them.
And, he even says when he's sitting down, he's like, I bet you have a bunch of, you know, or you've got a sniper.
With a kill shot right lined up.
Right. And he's like, well, I've got a few.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, Mr. Edgar's dope.
Yeah. And he is there just like trying to tell him, like, look, your whole reason for Ryan existing is a
safe plan.
It's a safeguard against Homeland.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think we all kind of knew that, but this is the first time I think they, like, really, like, put it out there on the table.
Yeah.
And so Stan is just, like, being the smooth, you know...
businessman that he is.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, how can you help me? You know, you can't do anything against Homelander. He's like, look, just make me a deal here. If I can get Ryan away from Homelander, you take Becca and Ryan and you hide them away and you make sure that they're somewhere where they can't be found.
No,
he does say that. He says that.
Okay.
At least initially he says that. And Stan's just talking to him and he's like saying, I don't understand how you can stand Stormfront. She's a racist Nazi. And he's like, yeah. He basically says like, yeah, I don't like her, but she helps people get angry, and angry people want Compound V, and that helps the stock price go up.
Yeah.
So he's essentially saying, you know,
it's all about the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think this, I jumbled episodes last week. I mentioned this conversation. He says, when has it never been about the money?
Right, exactly. You know, he's like, because Billy even says to him, it's all business with you people. He's like, when in the history of, I think he says either in the history of the world or the history of America.
It might have been in the history of ever.
Yeah, he's like, when has it not been about that?
Yeah.
So then after that little conversation, when he basically is calling out Stan for being ruthless or whatever, he says, I think he even says, like, you're a ruthless bastard.
Yeah.
So then the conversation turns into Billy saying, all right, look, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get them away. I'm going to get Ryan away from Homelander, but then you zero in on this cell phone and you have Vought come and take him away and I'm keeping Becca. And Stan says to him, he says, okay, well, what am I supposed to do then when she finds her way back to me and is like, I need to see my son? And he says, you lie to her basically and tell her it's the only way to keep him safe.
Yeah.
And Stan then looks back at him. He says, who's the ruthless bastard now?
Yeah.
So initially his plan was to just get Becca with Ryan. But then Billy, thinking on his feet to try and make a deal, says, okay, well, you get what you want. I get what I want.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's classic Billy.
Yeah, it really is.
He's sneaking and wheeling and dealing behind the scenes without letting everyone know what the big picture is to, you know, get what he wants and just what he wants. He wants Ryan out of the picture because he doesn't want to be associated with Supes. And he basically already told Becca before when he was trying to rescue her, like, no, I don't want him around.
Yeah.
So this was his means to an end.
Yep. Pretty dirty move.
Yeah. Now, I do want to kind of jump off of them and get into Homelander and Stormfront a bit.
Yeah.
So when we last saw them, they were taking Ryan. We find out then that Homelander took him to his weirdo cabin in upstate New York.
A little bit. At first, he's not there. He's with Ashley.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He has him at Vought Tower.
Yeah, poor
and she's
Ashley.
Pulling more of her hair out.
Yeah, she's trying to be all nice and sweet, and they're just like, yeah, we know why you're bored. Like, we're sorry.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, damn, I was trying. You know, they're just being jerks to Ashley.
Yeah.
So then they're like, well,
and Ryan, he's there just like going over
states.
The states, and he's like, yeah, either try to list them as fast as possible in alphabetical order or geographical order. Now, don't get me wrong. I was a big nerd as a kid. I mean, I literally was the kid that my parents had me reading the encyclopedia, like as helping me learn.
What the fuck happened? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think today that I could name all of the states in alphabetical order, let alone geographical.
No.
Pretty crazy. But Homelander is not really down with this.
No, he doesn't want a smart kid. He wants just a brute force.
Right.
I want you to have my powers, have fun.
And so him and Stormfront, they say, okay, well, you know, let's get you out of the tower a bit. Let's take a little field trip.
So they go to Vaultland.
Yeah. Which at first you kind of just see it's this building somewhere in New York and a bunch of families are there. They're at like a restaurant.
Yeah.
And there's people placing their orders. This waiter comes up and this waiter looks miserable. Like, I don't want to be here. I hate my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he walks up to this lady. He's like, hey, how can I help you? Can I take your order or whatever? This lady's about to start ordering. And he looks up and he goes, holy shit. And Stormfront, Homelander, and Ryan are just walking in very nonchalant. They sit down at a table. And, you know, Homelander's telling Ryan, he's like, oh, you know, isn't this kind of cool here? Whatever. I think
he has a burger named after him.
Yeah. And he's telling me, oh, you should try this burger. It's great.
They have the black noir chocolate shake or something like that.
Yeah. And so as they're sitting there, this little girl comes up and asks Homelander, like, hey, can I get a selfie? Homelander's like, you got to ask the boss. And he points to Ryan. And then this girl, like, looks at Ryan. And Ryan's just kind of there, like,
confused. Everybody's confused. And he's like, I'm just kidding. And he's like, yeah, of course you can.
So he starts taking a selfie. Some other people come up to Stormfront. This guy has a Stormfront shirt on. He comes up. He's like, I love you. And so she starts taking selfies. All these people start crowding around. And you see Ryan just kind of looking around confused, and then it gets louder, and he just puts
anxiety
his head down.
Is kicking in.
Yeah, he's kind of cradled a little bit. His hands are over his ears. I'm not going to lie. I thought he was about to, like, laser eye the whole crowd.
Dude, imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine.
And so oddly enough, Homelander looks down.
Notices it.
Yeah, he sees that he's like
and
in a
almost
bad place.
Looks like he's worried about his son. Like not like you know, it's like, oh,
he looks concerned
out.
For his son's well being.
Yeah.
So he says, okay, I got you. He picks him up, takes him out, and he's like pushing through the crowd. He's like, excuse me, excuse me. And eventually he gets like a little bit
sick. He's like, step back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And he just flies away.
Yeah. This and then he flies where he takes him is the cabin. And I'll tell you what, it gets weird from here. Even Homelander is a little confused by what Stormfront says to Ryan when
they
get
to
the cabin.
So he gets to the cabin. Stormfront arrives there a little bit later, and Homelander's outside, and he's like, he doesn't want to. He just wants to be alone. He doesn't want anybody to talk to him. And so she's just like, no, like you're his dad. Like, go in there. Like, be the man I know you can be. So he sits down, he talks with Ryan, he's like, I remember the first time I was in a crowd, and he's like, you know, trying to have a relatable moment with him, and he's like, you know, it was a lot of people, and they were wanting me to use my powers and this and that, whatever, and Ryan's like, well, I bet you weren't even scared, and he's like, no, I was terrified. And he kind of starts describing a little bit of his childhood, and it's like, the doctors who, and he hesitates, and he's like,
The people
who raised me, you know, just wanted to, you know, use me essentially,
and they're afraid of me, so they kept their distance.
Right, and so, you know, when I got nervous, I just flew away. And he's like, maybe the next time you get nervous, you can fly away with me, even. And Ryan kind of just tells him, like, you know, I don't know if I'm like you. And he's like, no, like you are. Like we'll practice. You know, you just have to learn. I didn't have anybody to teach me, but you have me. I'm gonna teach you.
Yeah.
So he takes him outside. And he's got like a little figurine of the deep.
Yeah.
And you can see Ryan's just there, just like concentrating with his eyes, focusing. He's, you know, Homelander's trying to see if he can use his laser vision. And Ryan's trying, can't do it.
No.
And Homelander's
he's
just like,
picture somebody you hate.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't really hate anybody.
Mom says I shouldn't hate anyone. Yeah. You know? Well, Mom's not here.
Yeah. And he's like, it's okay, man. When you're up here with me, feel free to hate away.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, I can't. And this is where it starts to get off the rails.
Stormfront is wild.
Yeah. She just basically goes, well, you know, you have to be able to hate people because there's people who hate us. And not only they hate us, but they're trying to wipe us off the face of the earth.
They hate us for the color of our skin is what
right.
this
and Ryan's
white
like,
lady said.
What? And she's just like, yeah. And it what they're Uh-oh. Doing by trying to wipe us off the face of the earth, it's called white genocide.
And he's so
that,
lost.
Right there, that's when Homelander like gives her kind of like this look.
He
like
He gives her like the what the fuck kind of yeah. look at first. He's like,
now,
what?
I don't know that. I think we all know, obviously, Homelander's an evil person. And even like kind of borderline
racist. Yeah.
But I think this is the first time he sees just how racist she is.
And how unrealistic, like how she sees the world is not how the world is.
Right, yeah. Right. It's the level of the racism, the kind of dissonance that she has between how the world really is and how she thinks it is in her head. And
she's, when she sees, I'm assuming, what she sees as equality is taking over for what is taking away people over.
Right.
Yeah.
So to have someone like Homelander kind of give you that, like, yo,
bitch, you crazy.
Yeah. Like, that's a big thing. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, so needless to say, Ryan's more confused than ever and can't use his powers here.
So this before we step forward from, because there's something that happens right after this that kind of gets into the the apex of everything. We go back to the boys real quick. And Huey's back, Starlight's back, Butcher's back. Everybody's all back in there, and they're like, hey, we got to come up with this plan to get Ryan. Now, Butcher doesn't tell him his plan. His plan is still to get Ryan and Becca together.
Right.
And they're getting all geared up. They have a plan. They make a plan. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Becca and Butcher start to have a conversation, and she's just like, look, no matter what, you save him, okay? That's the main thing. He's now the important part here, and she's like, I know you. You know, I know you don't like him, blah, 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 but he's good. And she's like, you promise me.
Yeah, and he says, I promise. And then she goes, swear. Swear on your brother's life. And
soul.
He looks, your brother's soul. And he looks at her and he goes,
"I swear on Lenny's soul.
I swear on Lenny's soul. I will do this." Now, in that moment, were you thinking he was like fingers crossed behind his back? Because I did.
Yeah, 100%. Because I think even, yeah, I think that he's in the moment kind of guy. So I don't think his plan has changed yet.
Yeah. And he even pulls out the cell phone that he told Vought to ping on. And he's like, "Well, I got this in my back pocket."
Yeah.
And so his plan comes together with Huey's plan, because when he first sees Huey, he's like, "Well, let me guess, you came back with fuck all."
Yeah.
And so Huey is like, he says like, "Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm using that term right, but yeah, we've got fuck all." And so he shows Billy the folder, and it's, you know, all the pictures then of
Stormfront
with Hitler, Nazi symbols and Hitler. And I think that you had mixed that in the last episode as well, because the last episode when she's showing pictures to Homelander, there were no pictures with Hitler.
No, I think she says to him, like, that's even the head honcho himself in that episode.
She says the most important guy, which was Frederick Vought. She was talking about her husband. It's this episode where we see she has pictures with Hitler.
Yeah.
So it's you know, pictures with Hitler and with Vought and whatever, and Nazi swastikas and whatever. And Billy's like, "Oh, this is
perfect. Fuck all."
So I'm trying to think here. Oh, there was one thing I do want to get into before we move on here, and I think it's kind of intertwined in this section. At one point, Starlight was given a cross by her mother.
Yeah, early in the episode, she's having her mom leave town to be safe.
Right.
And we remember from a previous episode, she had a cross, but it's gone. So this episode...
She's like, "You need a new cross." And so she gives it to her, and she's like, "Well, I'm not going to wear it." And she's like, "You don't have to wear it, but I want you to have it." You know, it's her mom's way of saying, like, "I'm hoping this protects you."
Yeah.
And so this is just like another thing that I want to talk about, because the boys brings in so many different storylines. And I think the more I watch it, the more I realize the different themes that they have in the show are woven together and integrated probably better than any other show that I've seen. And so this whole aspect of Starlight and her faith and her religion and whatever, she's, you know, kind of renounced her faith at this point. And I think at some points she even kind of alludes to the fact that she doesn't even believe that God's real anymore.
Right.
So the fact that her mom is still, you know, after everything that has happened, after everything she's gone to, her mom is still keeping the faith, and she's hoping that, you know, her belief in God is going to protect Starlight. So, you know, it's just so many different themes. The themes of the school shootings, the themes of the politics of the world, the themes of religion. This show really ties it together better than any other one I've seen.
Yeah, and it feels organic.
It does.
It's not in your face, and I'm going to point some out later about how some things are organic and not in your face, and why it's so much better than even like most Marvel superhero shows and stuff like that.
Yeah,
or movies. But yeah, I agree. I think it feels smooth. It feels as part of the show. It's not like, okay, this is a theme we're trying to throw in your face. It's just a theme that's part of this person's life, and that's just how it's going to move. You know?
And it's done in a way too that it's not forced, it's not so in your face, and it's organic, but also it just makes sense.
Yeah.
It adds to the plot and the storyline rather than being like a distraction from it.
Right, exactly.
So I wanted to touch on that because it kind of comes back later in the episode as well.
It does, you're right.
So the boys have their plan, and you know, they start arming each other up. You know, the Frenchie's getting his RPGs, MM's loading up the guns, and
they're now out in this like little like wide open garage in a field.
Yeah, it almost looks like a very small airplane hangar.
Yeah,
and Huey, I think he's on the computer. He's like uploading the
Stormfront information.
Right.
Yeah, and then we've got Kimiko and Frenchie are heading off into the woods somewhere.
Yeah,
everybody else is kind of waiting for this to start.
He's got like a bunch of Bluetooth speakers, like big Bluetooth speakers, and Kimiko is like communicating with him with her language, and he's kind of understanding it.
I forget when it was last episode, I think they've talked about like
he was trying to learn, and she had mentioned the way that he says gun is like loading a magazine.
Yeah, but when did that happen?
That was last episode.
They were looking over something.
Yeah. And so Frenchie's been learning her language.
Yeah.
The language that she made up with her brother. And so they're talking in the car. She's doing some sign language or whatever. And you know, with these speakers that he's getting lined up, she mentions to him, she says to him, like, do you think this is gonna work? And he's like, oh, are you kidding me? This is nothing compared to like the parties I used to throw in Algiers or something like that.
Yeah.
And
she's like, you dance? And he's like,
she says you dance, and she does the sign for it, and he's like, wait, is that the sign for dance? So he's like, forgive me, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, I dance. You know, what is life like? What would life be like if you couldn't dance?
Yeah, if you didn't dance. Yeah, which was a cool line from Frenchie again.
Yeah.
But it shows you how smart Frenchie is. He picks up on her language so fast. Like, you know, it's only been a little bit.
Frenchie is definitely a much smarter guy than I think the world is giving him credit for.
Yeah.
And us as, you know, viewers of the show, you know, we can pick up on that. But I think the people around him, Billy and MM even, I don't think they realize just how smart he is.
Right. Well, because he's one of those guys who doesn't like to put it out there. Do you know what I mean? He just is who he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he has these big pile of speakers there. So this is going to be part of the plan. So he gets back. So let's do a little flashback over to the whole thing with Ryan. As Stormfront's making her little conversation with Ryan about white genocide, all of a sudden she looks at her phone. She's like, oh, fuck. And they're like, what's wrong? So she flies off. Turns out that's right when all the information was uploaded to the internet.
Yeah, you now start seeing
news
flashes of Stormfront is a racist Nazi, and you know, all these pictures of her with Hitler, with Vought, with the swastikas.
Yeah.
You see even like somebody made like memes of like, it's like a little cartoon thing of her walking down the street and
there's a song. I forget what the song was, but it was hilarious.
It was some children's lullaby, but they like changed the words to like basically say like, I'm a Nazi.
Yeah, and then it's like, we should kill her, you know?
Yeah.
And
there's even like, I think like a social media video where some guy, he's just like, says something along the lines of like, I don't know
why I'm saying this now, but
You should hate Nazis. Like, Nazis are bad.
He goes, yeah, I don't know why I'm still saying this, but Nazis are bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it definitely, again, mirrors today, like, how things would have gone if something like that
Absolutely.
Happened.
Yeah. Especially because any time something of cultural significance, good, bad, or in the middle, something happens, the internet takes it by storm.
Yeah.
The internet does. The media does. It's exactly how it would be in real life. Something this big where this person who's propped up to be this awesome, you know, superhero who is fighting for, you know, the people.
Yeah.
Even though we slowly start
the
to see it's just some of the people.
Yeah.
If something like this happens, you know, they would take a hold of it and it would be out of control out there.
And that's what happened. So she heads back to, I want to say Vault Tower or something.
She does. She's walking through the tower, and all the people there are just looking at her. Yeah. Like, should you be here? Like, I think even Maeve at one point is there, and she walks by Maeve, and Maeve just has this, like, disgusted look.
Yeah.
You know, she's out there, and I'm trying to remember where. Somewhere along the line, she's talking with somebody, and she's basically saying, like, you know, people like what I'm doing. They just don't like the word Nazi attached to it.
That's later. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah. But yeah, so she's gone. And the whole point was to get her away with that. So she's gone. And then this is when
we see the purpose of the speakers.
The speakers, yeah. So Homelander and Ryan are in the cabin. And all of a sudden they start hearing these loud, like, things are just really ringing.
Yeah, it's
ringing.
like a high pitch and a low pitch ring.
It's like it bugged me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It bugged me even more because when I was watching this, I was wearing headphones.
Oh,
I was wearing earbuds.
Man, yeah.
Volume full up.
Jeez. Yeah, yeah, that
so
was definitely
I immediately took the earbuds out and I was like, I need to lower the volume on this.
For sure. So
Ryan and Homelander.
It bugs both of them.
Yeah, they're there and Ryan is just covering his ears. Homelander's covering his ears and he's like, Ryan's like, what's going on? What's happening? And obviously it's affecting their super hearing. And so Homelander's just like, you stay there, I'll be back.
Yeah. So he goes, leaves. He finds the speakers.
Now the boys, they see when Stormfront leaves, That's when they activate that. They see Homelander leave, and they're
off. So right. Becca and Billy are going to the cabin.
Yeah.
They get to the cabin. Billy gets in there, has freaking AR in his hands, going through looking for Ryan.
Right.
Becca finds Ryan.
Gives him some, like, earmuff type jaunts. Yeah.
And I just love it. He's like, who's he? He's like, my husband. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. So,
well, and so I took that in two ways. One, she was telling him that because, one, she wanted to
be honest. Kind of
be honest and truthful with him.
Yeah.
Because
she hasn't, you know, been.
When she last saw him, he was basically saying, you're a liar. You're fake.
Yeah.
So she's telling him to be honest. But then, two, I think she also wanted it to say it to, like, give Billy a boost.
Yeah.
You know, because she wants to let him know, like, you are still my husband. Like, no matter what we're going through, thick or thin, you're my husband.
Yeah.
So they get out of there. They get in the car.
And they get back to the little hangar.
Yeah.
And this is where Billy makes a decision. Because there's this, like, there's a conversation in the car on the ride over, I'm sure, that was just like, we're all going to be okay. We're going to be sweet. No, just like between Becca and them.
Right. No, I'm saying, like, unbeknownst to us, he had filled the boys into
the plan.
The plan, maybe not the reason or exactly all the details, but
yeah,
he informed them that, okay, like, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. So at this point, he tells MM, he's like, you get Becca and Ryan and you get them out of here.
Yeah. And MM's like, whoa, that's not what we
stick with the plan, Butcher. And he's like, plan is fucking changed. He's like this. So Becca goes and like, you're coming with us. He's like, no. And then he tells the truth. He's like, I cut a deal with Mr. Edgar.
Yeah.
I was going to send him away. You stay with me. And I was going to make it so that happened.
Yeah. So you would never see Ryan again.
Yeah. And then we could be together. He's like, you don't want that. And he even says, you don't want me around him. I'm no good. I don't want to put my baggage on him.
Right. Right.
And it was like a real sweet moment. Like, Billy realized that I've got to do the right thing. I think he saw how much Becca loves that kid.
Absolutely.
And was just like, I can't do that to the person, my wife.
Right.
And they have this sweet moment. And he's like, just trust me. You need to go with him and make sure he's good and stays good.
Right. And he says, you know, I was about to sell you out. Like, you don't need that in your life. And she's like, you were, but you didn't.
And then you see, like, the boys, all that they flash to Huey and Starlight, and they got, like, this sweet moment. Starlight was like, she's about to tear up a little.
Yeah.
You got Frenchie and Kimiko looking on. Like, everybody's like, okay, this is finally Billy's doing the right thing here.
Yeah.
So MM gets them in the car after this long conversation, and it's Becca, Ryan, MM, and they drive off.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as they're driving, they see a little bit of lightning hit the ground.
Yeah, Stormfront comes back
and just
blasts. She uses her lightning and it like picks up the car
and throws it. Yeah.
So not only did I immediately think, okay, did they really just kill Becca, Ryan, and more importantly, did they kill my boy MM?
Yeah.
But I'm like, something needs to happen to this bitch.
Right, which this is one of the best scenes on any episode of the show. So
was probably, in my opinion, the best scene in this whole season.
100%.
One of the best in the whole show. But at that moment, I finally got what you were getting at in the last episode.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. And but yeah, so Billy Goode runs to the car. Everybody's okay. He's getting them out. The rest of the... So I'm going to hit this real quick. As he gets them out, he tells... MM tells Billy, you run. It's okay. We'll
hold her off.
And he cocks a gun and starts walking. While that's going on, we've got the rest of the boys walking up to Stormfront, and Stormfront's yelling at Starlight, oh, you let it out again, da, 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 all the lies. And she goes, they weren't lies, blah, blah, blah. And this is where she says, look, people agree with what I'm saying. They just hate the word Nazi.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And then there's something that goes along the lines of, like, you want to hear the truth. And Kimiko just starts laughing.
Dude, it was that, like, I hate to say it. It was that typical, like, anime villain laugh.
Yes, it was.
And I was, like, kind of freaked out, but also kind of like, yo, pumped. That's dope.
I was pumped, dude. Yeah. The first time I watched the episode, I remember she started laughing. I was like, you're about to get fucked up.
When she starts signing to Frenchie, and Frenchie goes, the truth is...
she says, the truth is, she's going to put her boot up your kitty.
Yeah, yeah. Up your Nazi kitty.
Up your Nazi kitty.
So, yeah, Kimiko... goes in and just starts bashing on her.
Yeah.
Like, they are going at it.
Hand-to-hand combat. Kimiko's holding her own, basically, but then Starlight joins in.
Yeah.
And so they're going at it. And Stormfront's strong, so she's getting her punches in, but they're punching and everything.
Yeah, they're kind of tag-teaming her. Starlight, and this was the one thing I did want to talk about in this fight. Starlight gets electrocuted, and it throws her back, right? I'm thinking in my head, yo, if you get your power from
electricity,
that should have pumped you up.
Yeah, I feel like that there's a missed moment in this fight, right?
Absolutely, because it didn't happen. And I'm like,
I thought it'd be cool if like she like goes like that and she like brings it in, like,
right? I'm like, yo, you absorb that, you get stronger, or maybe even like redirect it or somehow.
Freaking Uncle Iroh style.
Yeah. But they're going back and forth.
In this moment, though, too, they start to see Stormfront get a little upper hand, and the boys are like, Frigilis, we gotta get the rocket launcher. That's the only way we get out of this. And Stormfront must have heard him because she blasts the car.
Oh, she went, she immediately hit the car because Frenchie even says, stupidly, it's in the car.
Yeah.
Like, yells it.
Stormfront for a genius, he's a fucking idiot. Yeah, you know?
Book smarts, not a lot of common sense all the time.
Yeah.
She electrocutes the car, which explodes the RPG. The whole hangar just blows up. Everybody gets blown away.
The boys go flying.
Yeah.
The three boys here. And then they're getting themselves back up. But something happens to Starlight. Kimiko is trying to... she actually is like trying to rip Stormfront's head off. And Stormfront does a weird little electricity thing in her face.
Yep.
Gets the upper hand. Breaks her neck.
Yeah.
So now she's winning, and it's kind of like, oh, fuck, things are going downhill. It's another situation where, like, they get the upper hand, all of a sudden it's gone.
Right.
And then you hear a voice say, hey, Nazi bitch. And you turn around, Queen Maeve. And this is where you see Queen Maeve is like, she is like Wonder Woman. Like, she's fucking strong.
Yeah.
And she just wails on her.
Well, and it's funny you say that comparison, because Wonder Woman, I'm pretty sure, like, part of her origin was that she was fighting the Nazis.
Probably, yeah.
I'm pretty sure she was. So it's funny you made that comparison, because we got Queen Maeve, who's the Wonder Woman clone, fighting, you know, the super Nazi here.
Yeah.
And so she's punching the crap out of Stormfront. Then you see Starlight gets back up.
And then Kimiko's neck comes back.
Kimiko, boom, snaps her neck back into place.
Bro.
They start fucking
her. They jump her, bro. They knock her down, and they're kicking the shit out of her.
Yeah.
And, like, calling her Nazi bitch and just cursing. And this is where Frenchie goes, holy shit, girls do get it done. Yeah. And here's what I want to say. Like, this is not in your face, right? So earlier in the season, they kind of make fun of the Avengers. They make fun of, I think it was Endgame, when all the girls somehow are magically aligned when the gauntlet gets Spider-Man gives a gauntlet to
he gives it to Captain Marvel,
and all of a sudden all these women are magically there. Now, great, don't make it wrong, as a scene and watching the movie I got hyped,
yeah,
but it was very in your face, not organic.
Agreed.
And so in the beginning of the season, they do the same thing in their movie they're making. It kind of happens, and they stand there like, girls get it done. And then here it's the boys just do it right. They get it so organically that these three powerful women are just taken over. And while there's men on the sideline just going, well, there's nothing we can fucking do.
Like, right, right.
You know, but it felt right. Like, in the moment, it just felt good. It was like, this is organic. And Frenchie makes a quick joke. Holy shit, girls do get it done.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're wailing on her.
Yeah, and it's funny because when they're beating on her, all I could think of was that, like, meme sound where it's like, and I don't even know where the original sound is from, but it's like... sound of like a guy getting jumped, and somebody's in the background like, yo, let him get up. You know, that's what I thought in my head, is like, they're like, yo, let her get up as we're jumping her.
I'm picturing somebody just in the back going, world star.
Yes, that too. You know? That too.
But yeah, so while they're beating her, she finally kind of like blasts them away for a second and just gets out of there.
Yeah, she retreats because she knows, like, yo, if I can't take much more abuse,
they were
here
beating the fuck out of her.
Yeah.
So she ends up landing right where oh, you know what? Actually, I want to flash over to something real quick.
Do it.
The phone that Billy had was on the counter in the cabin.
Yes.
So you got this, like, vault SWAT team come in, and they're looking for Billy. And they're like, where is everybody? Nobody's here. Butcher, you here? Butcher, you here? And then at the door is Homelander. Did you just say Butcher?
Yeah. And he asks,
what's going on?
Like, what's happening? Yeah. And then over the radio, somebody says, do you have the boy?
Yeah.
And Homelander just goes, where's my son?
And bro,
and he starts walking in, and everybody's like looking mad nervous.
Pointing guns at the motherfucker.
Yeah, like what is that gonna do?
I'm sorry. I'm gonna be like, look, I don't know what I just got sent here. Yep. What do you need from me, Homelander? I'll give you all the information you fucking need, dude. I will give it all to you. And they don't do that.
Yeah.
The one head guy, like, is still pointing the gun at me and won't answer Homelander. So Homelander just laser beams him.
Cuts him in half. Like, just blood and guts spilling out of this man. And he asks again, he goes, where's my son?
You know, like, and Saiyan up in this bitch.
They cut away. You know what's going
to
happen.
So right before he leaves to go find where his son is, they show him walk out of the cabin, and he is just drenched.
Drenched in blood. Yeah. And just
pissed.
Yeah.
So nobody answered his question. I would have answered right away. I'm like, look, this is what happened. This is all I know. You tell me more what you need from me.
I don't even know that I would have done that, honestly.
Well, dude, either you're dead or you have a chance to live.
I would have, as soon as Homelander comes in and he's like, where's my son? What's going on? I'd have been like, yeah, I got to check something in the back.
And I would have peaced out, You're the first one dead. He sees that. You're dead, dude.
Oh,
I at least would give him information. He might be like, okay, I got your back.
I don't know. I just feel
and
like.
And then you know what I would do? I'd be like, I'm your inside man. Whatever Edgar says, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, dog. And then guess what I'm doing? Plane out of the country.
So yeah, he's covered in blood. He kills everybody in there. He pieces out.
Yeah, so he's going to look for Ryan. So Stormfront catches up with Ryan, Billy, and Becca.
Right.
And she's fucking heated. And she's like, Ryan, come with me. And he's like, no. And they're protecting Ryan. And basically what happens here is Stormfront just starts chokeholding Becca against a tree.
Well, I want to point something out in this scene, though.
Talk to me.
When she says, Ryan, come here, he's like, no, but you see that starts getting closer to Billy. And I think that's important because it shows, okay, he doesn't really know who Billy is, but he knows he's there to protect him.
He trusts him.
Right. He trusts him. Exactly.
Just like every other idiot in the show. But
Stormfront, she goes, starts choking back up against this tree.
Billy's shooting her in the back. She doesn't care. He comes to wail on her with a freaking crowbar. Doesn't do anything. So Ryan goes, it's screaming, let go of my mom, let go of my mom. And finally it pisses him off. He hates Stormfront now.
Yeah.
And his eyes get red. And the whole screen just
goes. Whole screen goes white. And immediately what I thought of, and I hate to draw the anime comparisons again, I immediately thought like, yo, this is like some Gohan level type shit. Because like Gohan in Dragon Ball is like, you know, this little kid who is like ultimately like more powerful than anybody else, but he just doesn't, the potential is in him, but he like never really, he rarely unleashes it.
And yeah, we see what happened when he grew up. But anyway.
Right. But yeah, so he screen goes white.
Comes back.
Come back.
And you hear him in the background. Don't know what he's saying yet.
Yeah, he's just kind of mumbling, but you can tell he's kind of like crying a little bit.
Yeah. And so,
and you see then on the floor.
Well, Billy wakes up. So you get a nice view of Billy. Yeah. And he's kind of wondering. And then he sees Ryan and he goes, I'm sorry.
Well, before we get to that, we see when Billy gets up, we see on the floor, you hear some other mumbling too.
Oh, it's freaking. So anyway, we forgot to note while Stormfront's choking Becca stabs her in the eye.
Yes.
And takes out an eyeball.
Yeah, which it's crazy to me that like.
Well, that's a weak point. That makes sense to me.
Right. True. But, you know, you've got all these soups that are, you know, bulletproof. Maeve is bulletproof. Homelander's bulletproof. Stormfront is bulletproof. All these people are bulletproof. But then she got stabbed in the eye. So it's like, yo, if
you got to aim for the eyeball.
Yeah. Like if you're wanting to take down a soup, just like get a sniper and shoot him in the eye.
Yeah.
Get the cow out of the eye. They're
Legolas.
Done.
Legolas, put the fucking bow and arrow.
True. But anyway, yeah. So after Ryan does what he does,
we see Stormfront on the ground. She's mumbling in German and she's missing her limbs, eyes
she's
gone.
Roasted.
She's roasted.
She's roasted. She looks like somebody that's went through like fifth degree burns.
And let's talk about how Homefront did that to her and it barely did anything to her.
Yeah. Homelander was burning the crap out of
and
her.
She
and
got
she
turned
was
on.
Liking it.
Yeah.
This
Ryan
she's roasted.
Blew her up.
Yeah, her legs are gone. Her arms.
She even
like,
looks like a nub.
Yeah,
of
she's
her
got
arm.
Like a nub. Her hair is burnt off. She, you know, she's looking like a burnt potato chip.
Yeah,
she's mumbling there in German, and then when we finally read or find out what Ryan's saying, he's like, "I didn't mean it.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry."
Yeah,
And he even says, like, mom at some point. And then Billy kind of looks over, and there's a slice on Becca's neck, and she's just bleeding to death.
Yeah.
So Billy runs over to her, and Ryan just can't move. He's frozen, crying. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
And with her last words, she's like, he's good.
Yeah.
He's good. I, you know, let him know this is not his fault.
Right.
He's good. Then she dies. And Billy hears him say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to again. And Billy's eyes just go fucking red.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know if this how this is acting or how you do it with makeup, but they had like the under eyes turned super red. And he just looked fucking heated. So he picks up a crowbar and starts walking towards Ryan. But right when that happens, Homelander falls down. Well, comes down. And he's just like, Ryan, you do this? And Ryan's like, I didn't mean to. Because he's over top of Stormfront.
Yeah, he's looking at Stormfront, and he asks Ryan if he did this. Now, what were your thoughts here? Because my thoughts were, I was thinking, okay, well, this is one of two things Homelander's thinking here. Either he's asking Ryan, like, did you do this? And then he's sad because Stormfront is dead, and he was like, you know, in love with her or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
was he proud?
Yeah.
I think it was a mixture of both. I do. I thought the same thing. I was like, he's definitely proud of him. There's no doubt about that. But obviously, I think he's a little sad about Stormfront because somebody, but you know, she's batshit crazy. Who cares? But yeah, so he asks him, he's like, well, come with me. We'll figure this out. Come with me. And this is where you definitely start to see Ryan. He's inching towards Billy.
Right.
Even though Billy's about to fucking beat the shit out of him. And Billy at one point was like, you're not fucking taking him.
Yeah.
And he's like, why? He even what's weird is Homelander then talks shit on his son. He's like, this little bastard
just killed your wife.
And he's exactly what you hate.
Right. And Billy then just goes, I made a promise.
And I was like, thank God, like, you're not being an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember how. Oh.
So it.
Yeah.
You go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, they're getting ready to be like, Homelander's fine. I'm just going to fucking kill you. Like,
right. Right.
But then you hear a voice in the background again. Queen Maeve's there. She's like, stop it. And he's like, well, what are you going to do to make me stop? And this is where it's like, she shows a video of the plane. And she goes, look, you kill them. And you release Starlight. I mean, if you go after Starlight anymore, if you go after Elena, this or kill me, this goes out to the public.
Right, right.
Go ahead, because I got to sneeze.
So, yeah, he basically, Homelander's looking at her, and she's telling him, you know, you need to stop all this. And Homelander has this look on his face where he's just like, he doesn't really know if he wants to do it or whatever. And he goes, well, you know what?
If you do that, I'm going to destroy everything.
Right. He's like, he literally says, I'm going to destroy everything and everyone. And she says to him, well, go ahead, because at that point, I don't really care because no one will ever love you again.
She goes, everyone will see the real you and nobody will love you. Yep.
Yeah.
And that makes him, that's what he needs. He needs the love and devotion from everybody for some reason.
Right.
Like, that's what really keeps him going.
Yeah, and it goes back to, we've talked about this several times in season one and even parts of season two, where, you know, Homelander and the Supes in general, you know, I've always just said, well, they're these people who are all powerful. Why are they doing what they're doing? And for 99.9% of them, it's the money.
Right.
You know, it is. But for Homelander, it's not the money. Or at least that's not the main motivator.
No, it's
the love of the people.
Yep.
It's, you know, the fame and whatever. So yeah, he decides to fly off then, and Queen Maeve saves the day yet again.
Yep. And we'll try to close this out. I know it's a long episode.
Well, but there's a bunch of stuff that still happens after this.
Yeah.
But we'll try and run through it quickly while still giving the details. So as the scenes or the show comes to an end, we see a press conference being held, and we see is it Stan? Is it? Yeah, it's Stan Edgar. And he's initially saying, you know, trying to just do damage control. We're halting Compound V being put out there indefinitely. Now some words from Homelander. And we see it's Homelander, Maeve, and Starlight.
Back in there.
Homelander comes up and he's like basically saying, you know, hey, Stormfront, was found out to be a Nazi and were, you know, doing, he's saying some stuff to do damage control.
She's in a locked up facility somewhere.
Right, right. And he says, I also want to welcome back Starlight. You know, she's exonerated. And
it was all a lie from Stormfront.
Right, yeah. Right. And he keeps saying stuff, but as he's talking and like just giving his corporate fluff, it's zooming in, and eventually you hear his audio drowning out, and it's just focusing on his eyes, and you can just tell like he's just saying all this stuff when he doesn't really want to.
Oh yeah.
After this, then we cut to Alistair.
No, we get to Huey. Yes. Huey on a bench, or Starlight on a bench.
Starlight,
and so Huey comes to Starlight and is just like, hey, on a bench, they're talking.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Starlight actually kisses him. They have a nice like conversation about like just who he is a good person. And he goes, well, I think I'm going to step back and stop being so attached. I think I am too attached to people. Right after Starlight kisses him, so she's kind of like, oh, okay. And she gets a little upset. He's like, I just want to like stand on my own two feet. She's like, I understand. I guess we'll just be friends.
He's like, oh,
well. He's like, no, I'm going to definitely hook myself to you. I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a sweet moment. So kind of we want to know that, hey, he wants to stand on his own two feet. He
wants to be his own man.
And she goes, well, who are you talking about? And then that goes to Billy.
Yes.
Obviously, he's talking about Billy. Billy with Ryan. Ryan says he's scared. Billy has this necklace. It's Saint somebody.
Saint Peter or Peter, something. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, your mom gave this to me, said it would always protect me. Gives it to him, says, now your mom will always protect you.
Yeah.
And he gets taken away by Grace Mallory's crew. Grace Mallory tells Billy, hey, that Congresswoman
Newman
is putting together like a team to keep track of soups to make sure they stay in line, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a job for you in there if you want it. And he just walks away.
Yeah.
Doesn't say a word.
Puts his glasses on and just walks away like a badass.
Yeah.
We also have MM.
Goes back home with
his
doll.
With his daughter.
Yep.
So that's nice. I love that.
And then Kimiko.
Frenchie and Kimiko.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Mallory tells Billy, hey, you and the boys are free now. You're not wanted.
Yes.
Everything's
all the
gone,
charges are dropped.
Even the stuff you did do. So that's why he's free to go back to his family. Kimiko and Frenchie are like, what do we do? And Frenchie, like, let's go dancing. So they have a sweet little, they're walking out and get ready to be together. This is when.
This is when we get to Alistair, I think.
Alistair is.
He's on the phone with somebody.
No. Alistair's with the Deep.
Oh, that's right.
And then Alistair tells him, like, you know, hey, we couldn't get you in. A-Train's in. Oh, no. Yes. A-Train and the Deep are there. A-Train's like, I'm in? Sweet. And he just kind of bounces, like, see you later, fuckers. And the Deep freaks out. He's like, well, you said it was me. You promised me, blah, blah, blah. And Alistair tells him, like, I understand, but we can get you to step 7. We'll keep moving forward. And he's like, no, fuck that shit. He made me marry a wife. He doesn't give me good blowjobs.
Yeah.
All this stuff. And he's like, you're being toxic. You're going
to
need to get out.
I think it's time for you to leave.
Time for you to leave. So he leaves. Now, I think we got all the other stuff wrapped up. Now, Alistair is on the phone with Mr. Edgar. No, he's on the phone with Newman.
We don't know it's Newman at first.
Right.
He's talking with somebody, and he's just like, you know, I see you've been appointed for this task force or whatever. That's when we see it's Newman, and she's like, well, you're the one who had the intel on Stormfront, so, you know, it's great that got leaked. And he goes, oh, I've got intel on dozens of soups that would ruin them. You know, you just let me know when I can help, but, you know, could you speed along my church getting tax exemption? And she's like, yeah, I can make that happen.
Yeah. So he's like, sweet. It's, you know, you are one of the good ones.
Right.
It's a pleasure working with you. So then he hangs up the
phone. He hangs up the phone, and he's sitting there, and he opens his Fresca.
Oh, he doesn't take a sip at all.
I thought he did.
It's right as he pops.
Okay, yeah. He opens the Fresca. Boom.
His head explodes.
Yeah.
And then you zoom out the window that's behind him, which I love. The head explodes as soon as he pops open the Fresca. And actually, it's weird. Like, it's super realistic. There's Fresca, like, spilling out of the can on the ground.
Yes,
and
mixing with the blood.
And it's super realistic.
Yes.
Weird.
Yeah. We see the windows covered with blood then.
Yeah.
We go through it, and we see someone standing out of, like, on the sidewalk there. And you get, like, a view from behind. And this person's on the phone. They put the phone down. We turn around and we see
it's Newman.
It's Newman, yeah.
Yeah.
Her eyes were like white.
Yeah.
And so she was the one that blew up Alistair's head, which we now know she blew up everybody's head at that hearing.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming probably also Susan Rayner.
You know what I should have done when I watched the last episode? Because I knew it was Newman. I should have looked back in that one episode where she blew her head up and see if any times her pupils went away.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we find out that, yeah, it's Newman that was blowing up people's
heads. Yeah, she's a bad soup.
Yep.
So she's walking, then she's going back to her, like, political office or whatever, campaign office, whatever you want to call it, and she's, like, talking to the people, and, you know, there's all these signs of her being, like, the head of this new task force and whatever, and somebody says to her...
You have a meeting.
Yeah, you have a meeting. They're in your office right now, and she walks in, and we find out it's Huey.
Yep.
And she basically tells him, like, you know, hey, I don't really know how we can thank you for everything that you've done. And he says, well, you know, I want to stand on my own. And, you know, I never really fit in with the boys. And the way you can thank me is by giving me a job.
Yeah.
And so she's like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And so she closes the door and she's like, when can you start?
Yeah.
And then that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of it. So it has like a full on almost happy ending for most of the boys. Obviously, Billy, not so much. Right. And now Huey, you're a little worried about because she super obviously worried. Doesn't really want whatever's going on. She's somehow in it with Vaught.
Is it Vaught? Or I don't know.
Maybe. But
I mean, you obviously know.
It feels like it, right? Because like anytime something that needs to go down that goes against Vaught, even though she's fighting Vaught, all of a sudden works out in Vaught's favor.
Yeah.
But
I'm wondering here, is there going to be like an overcorrection?
Oh, I know.
In season three?
I know who she is.
I know you know. but like, I'm thinking, okay, if you're part of this task force now that's going to be keeping tabs on the soups, is this going to be kind of like a Civil War, a Marvel Civil War type thing, or like an X-Men mutant registration type thing where it's like now the soups are going to like, be not so much hunted, but like they're going to be wanting to keep tabs on this and be like, yo, you need to register with us. We need to know where
like
you're
a
at.
Camera on at all times.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Is there going to be an overcorrection on the other side of things? I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, crazy, crazy episode here. The show just gets better and better and better.
It really does, man.
And I'm excited to see season three. I'm really also excited for Gen V when we start watching that because I feel like it's going to be a different type of show, but I'm really hoping it still captures people as well as the boys did.
I've heard good things.
I've heard good things, but I haven't heard as many good things as I've heard all throughout the years of the buzz of the boys. So we'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, man, that wraps things up.
Fun ride, season two.
Season three will be incoming here. Three. And let us know, you know, are you going back and rewatching things as season four is set to premiere here in a few months?
Or are you just listening to us?
Yeah.
It's like watching the show all over again.
Yeah. But yeah, we're happy to take this ride with you guys and excited to see what happens next. But you'll just have to watch and listen along. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.